This podcast is brought to you by Nil Desperandum, literary fiction in the audio format from the Bear Crawling Nation. www.ndstories.com.
Skype of Cthulhu presents A Call of Cthulhu Scenario, The Plantation, by Wesley Martin, from Mansions of Madness, published by Chaosium Incorporated.
Okay, so where were we? It was Monday morning. The 7th of September, I believe. Everyone had just arrived at the train station to see Mr. Williams finally show up in Charleston. Minor retcon, however, when you were departing the hotel to go to the train station, Mr. Ballantyne was not with you, and he left a note at the front desk saying to proceed without him, and he will join you hopefully later in the day. Or possibly tomorrow.
All right.
And Professor Gist did indicate that he expected his friend, Mr. Winsworthy, who's going to drive you out to the Gist plantation, to arrive sometime mid-morning.
Well, we updated Mr. Williams on everything that has happened in the last couple of days. And I wanted to check if Mr. Radcliffe can do some research on Dumbella.
On which now?
This guy Gist told us about the, I think it was Dumbella, the one that were worshiping on the plantation previously.
I think I did. How was that sold again?
Sorry, that's a question for me, isn't it? D A M. Hang on. D A. There it is. D A M, B A L A.
Yeah, I did. I got a. Last time I was here, I did an occult roll on that and got some information on it. He's he's a voodoo sky god, creator of all life.
Aren't they all?
Pretty much.
The other thing is that Joey told me that he was dreaming a lot with snakes, and
Dumbella, his main symbol is two snakes, two serpents.
Oh, there you go. And remember that the lady of the newspaper, she also told us that something was like eating people from the ground.
Yeah, the hell holes.
Hell holes, yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, just playing with my trick.
So, I honestly, I have no idea what can we use against snakes, or get ready against them, you know. Maybe when before we go to the plantation, maybe we should get some proper boots, you know, leather, high or
need some more, some sturdier clothes.
Yeah, you know, just to be ready.
Gotcha.
Sorry, turn my microphone back on. Based on the timing that Professor Gist gave you, you expect you have probably an hour or two before Mr. Winsworthy is due to arrive. And Professor Gist and Joe are waiting at the hotel.
All right. So, should we pick up something on the way back? Maybe some manner of protective gear or extra weaponry?
You said snakes, yes?
Why'd it have to be snakes? I hate snakes.
Isn't there some sort of some sort of serum we can bring, doctor, that could assist us with perhaps any problems we may have? I hear snakes can be quite venomous.
Oh, anti-venom.
Yes, indeed.
They have anti-venom in the 20s?
I wouldn't think so.
That's an interesting question. I don't know. Ow. Well, you guys can go looking for it if you want to.
All right.
Maybe you'll stimulate someone to go invent it.
Oh, actually, I'm looking at something about anti-venom.
To Google.
Oh. It looks like the first one was made in 1901, but...
Well, so if you guys wanted to look for it, you might be able to find some. We'll say that.
All right. I don't think they would have it in a drugstore or more along the lines of a hospital.
Probably true. Don't everyone rush off at once.
Actually, I'm going to go off to see if I can find some sort of outfitters. Get some sturdier clothing for going out into the swamp.
Okay. There are plenty of options for such thing. You won't have a problem.
Excellent.
Yes, pretty much anything you care to look for, you know, sturdy boots, heavy trousers, gloves, that sort of thing. Not even a concern.
Excellent.
Just assume you'll can get what you want. Just for yourself, or are you going to equip?
You guys want equipment for swamp hunting?
Yes, of course.
All right.
Waders and rubber boots and whatnot.
Yeah, some sturdy boots and maybe some waterproof trousers.
Rubber underpants.
Mm-hmm.
Mike was muted, so yeah, everything including nets.
Oh, including which?
Nets.
Oh, nets. Okay.
And can we get some sort of small explosives for snake holes?
Actually, let's see. What about flare pistols? Maybe those could probably work.
It is a harbor. There are plenty of ships, plenty of fishing boats, and fishermen wandering around. So yes, a flare gun is. Flare guns are available.
Yeah, let's pick up a couple Vary pistols.
Okay, not a problem there as well.
Oh, did we make a historical decision about venom, anti-venom yet?
Oh yeah, if we said that if we want to look for it, we might be able to find it.
Okay. Yeah.
If you wanted to.
Right.
Yeah. Do we go to the hospital to get some? See if we can get access to that.
Yes, doctor. Show them your your doctor card.
Yeah. Okay, on the way back, we get all this stuff, and we got ammo the last time, so I think we are okay. And on the way back, I also wanted to get some brass knuckles. So,
oh my!
so you guys are going after the antivenom?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, to the hospital. That one I'm going to have to make you roll for.
Okay.
So first, a party luck roll to see if they actually have any.
Yeah, that's David, I think.
No? No, I've got a 70.
With Ed gone, I believe that's Seth.
Yep, I've got...
Okay.
Let's see what I can do. Yep, 23 out of 50.
Okay, and for Dr. Larson, how about a persuade roll to get them to sell it to you?
Okay. No, 95.
We have it. We just don't want to give it to you.
They look at you askance and question why you're asking to buy snake venom. Perhaps you're going to try to make some sort of illegal pharmaceuticals. They tell you to get lost before they call the police.
Okay, thank you.
just rush ourselves to the hospital. Just like always. Like the old days.
And Dr. Larson was going for some brass knuckles.
Yeah.
Exactly where would you buy those?
So we'll go into a dark alleyway. Someone will probably have some.
Yeah, I don't know where to get them. So, yeah, but I was thinking, I said it is, you know, it's a nice gift that I can give you. Yeah. I wanted to buy one for each one of us.
Dr. Larson has a supplier in Arkham.
Is there any store where we can get one here?
Oh.
I think that if there was an army supply, an army surplus, maybe they would have trench knives. Those are like brass knuckles.
Yeah, make a party luck roll.
Don't fail me now.
Mr. Ratcliffe.
Oh, yeah. 2 out of 50.
Okay, so you're...
Hello, French knives.
You're able to find some. Would you also roll me D6, please?
Sure thing. 5.
Oh, they have plenty.
Excellent. Yeah, a trench knife is, it's like, it's a knife except it has, you know, the brass knuckles on the handle.
It's like brass knuckles with a blade sticking out of one end.
Exactly.
Okay. I get one for Ed as well. I mean for Frank.
Fair enough. Okay.
I can punch and stab at the same time. It's a brilliant weapon.
Yeah. Munchkin weapon.
Well, after all of this shopping, you figure it's getting close to the time when Mr. Winsworthy is expected.
Okay, we go back to the hotel.
Okay. In the lobby of the hotel, you find Professor Gist and Joe waiting. And Professor Gist tells you that his friend has not arrived yet. But Elihu's, he'll be along. He runs late sometimes. You understand.
Of course. Guess in the meantime, I'll be just sitting here reading my Nicotic manuscripts. Don't mind me.
Does anyone else have anything they want to do while they're waiting? Or
no, perhaps be caught up, if at all. You know, I don't seem to be understanding much of what's going on, but. Yeah. So snakes and bad people, right?
Zombies.
All right.
Some sort of horrible. It seems to be some kind of occult activity going on this plantation.
I see.
So of course you must rush to investigate.
Yes.
Sure. There are human sacrifices involved.
Uh-huh. I'm sure someone mentions missing children again at some point.
Oh, yeah, kids. Ugh.
Yeah, actually, we are looking for Joy's sister. She went missing.
Well, as it turns out, you have plenty of time to catch Mr. Williams up because it is not until about noon that you see in front of the hotel a bright, shiny new Anderson touring car pull up.
bad. Not bad at all.
And from
very fancy.
From the car, you see a very well-dressed, what you would say is the spot-on, stereotypical Southern gentleman get out. And Professor Gist stands up, says, "Ah, my friend Elihu is here at last. Finally, we can begin, gentlemen." And in walks Elihu Winsworthy.
Pleasure to make your acquaintance, Mr. Winsworthy.
Elihu and Mr. Winsworthy and Professor Gist shake hands, and they greet each other, and Professor Gist introduces you. These are my friends from the north who are here to assist us. And Mr. Winsworthy comes to you and says, "Ah, pleasure to make your acquaintance. My name is Elihu Winsworthy, gentleman of South Carolina. How do you do?"
Well,
how do you do?
Fair enough.
Very well, very well. Thank you, thank you. My friend Albert here tells me you are investigators in the matters of the occult. I dabble in such things, you know. I'm certainly not the expert that Albert is, but I have assisted him on one or two occasions.
We have had our dealings with the strange and unusual.
Oh, you have remarkable, wonderful, quite wonderful. Once Albert and I were investigating a cemetery up in North Carolina. Was it North? Yes, it must have been North Carolina. And you will not credit it, gentlemen. You will not credit it one bit. But we actually saw a ghoul.
A ghoul? A corpse eater, you mean?
Yes, you have heard of such things. Well, I can tell you, they do actually exist. You may not credit it, but I have seen it.
No, we've seen things that we would never have thought would have existed either. But we're definitely more inclined now to believe in such things.
Well, wonderful, gentlemen. Well, we must, of course, discuss this over lunch.
Indeed.
And he immediately turns and heads to the hotel restaurant. Come, gentlemen, come. We must have lunch before setting off.
No reason going off to battle evil on an empty stomach.
Well, we're having lunch. I'm actually telling about the episode we had with the zombie. On the train.
He is quite impressed. Would you care to make a psychology roll, Dr. Larson?
Mm-hmm. Yep, 12.
Your psychology skills tell you Mr. Winsworthy is pompous and arrogant and overbearing and... but entirely forthright. He seems a fairly honest fellow, despite his pomposity and his arrogance.
Okay. Okay, give me just 1 minute. I'll be right back.
No problem. Over lunch, he also likes to tell you about his car. He's obviously very proud of his car. Made right here in South Carolina, don't you know?
Ah, oh, delightful. Something of an auto man myself.
Oh, you are. Wonderful. And what sort of automobile do you drive, sir?
Flaming and exploded.
Well, I had a Duesenberg Model X, a wonderful thing made out in the Midwest. goes up to 100 miles an hour. But I lost it in an unfortunate accident.
Oh, terribly sorry to hear that.
But I have a very understanding insurance agent, so my Duesenberg Model A is currently waiting for me back in Virginia.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. You know, you should take a look at the Andersons. They are made right here in South Carolina, you know. No better, nothing better.
I'll have to make sure to give those a look.
And I turn to Gist and ask him, so you saw a ghoul, is that right?
Oh, yes. This was some time ago. Yes, we were investigating a particular tomb in a particular cemetery, and it appeared to be occupied by a ghoul. We didn't engage the creature, of course. We simply saw it moving on the other side of the cemetery. But it was there. It was there, no doubt.
What did it look like?
As Jim reaches for his keeper's companion.
Wait, let's read quick, a description. Scramble. Oh, it looked like a man, but shambling and rotten and vicious. Such a strange, unearthly pallor.
Yes.
Not unlike some people I've seen in New York.
I was going to say, perhaps the city folk gone deranged.
Nope.
Doctor, have you heard of any something like this? A man going feral and eating his own fellow man's corpse?
Well, yeah, for sure. But
of course.
But never. Just in myths, and never saw something like that myself.
Hmm. Well, perhaps that would be an interesting outing one day.
Oh, you know, the Eskimo have a very very interesting legend about a creature they call the Wendigo.
Ah.
It's a man driven mad with cannibalistic fury, becomes a horrible flesh eating monster.
All this talk is making me hungry. Is dinner ready?
Yes, lunch is progressing.
Do you happen to know about Dampala?
Who are you inquiring this of?
Mr. Winsworthy.
Oh, of course, of course. Dampala is one of the local gods from the Africans that they brought over. Nothing of consequence. It's simply their primitive myth and legend.
Well,
I think we may have something to do with this business going on in the plantation.
Well, you know, the sharecroppers, and most of which are descended from slaves, and so Dampala was one of their deities, if you can call it that, one of their myths. It's not so surprising that Dambala's name should come up in conjunction with this business.
And do you happen to know anything about some hell holes close to the plantation?
Hell holes? Hell. Oh, the the stories the locals tell about the ground opening up underneath people.
Exactly.
Well, this is the swamp, gentlemen. These sorts of things happen in every swamp. Nothing unusual about it. Quicksand and the mud and slip into a deep pool of water and a gator will get you. These sort of natural things happen, but this idea of the whole portal opening up underneath you, sucking you to hell, I can't really credit that too much.
Yes, I don't know what these other gentlemen have seen yet, but from what I've heard so far, everything could just be explained by some sort of scientific phenomenon.
I am absolutely certain of it, gentlemen.
Yes.
Now, as long as the names Dagon and Hydra don't come up, I'll think that we're in quite safe territory as well.
Promise not to talk about that again. The nightmares are still gone away.
Oh, yes, the nightmares of you abandoning me.
Dagon, who is this Dagon? I'm not familiar with. Not heard this name before.
Oh, just another sort of local god that rather unsavory natives brought over with them, except a little further to the north. Had some nasty dealings with some adherents of this. Don't know if you'd even call it a religion.
I see.
They passed us some bad soup.
I wouldn't say the soup was all bad. It was still quite tasty.
It going down.
Yes. Just as good coming back up.
Well, truly, gentlemen, it sounds like you've had some fascinating adventures.
Yeah.
Then you see, as lunch is progressing and the conversation is going, Joe is starting to get really antsy.
How is Gist when we talk about hell holes and you know, talking about the occult? Can I do a astrology?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
No, I fail.
Dr. Larson, I always see you scrutinizing people, just staring at them, watching their reactions. It's quite rude.
Yes, Professor Gist is trying to keep Joe in line and listening to the conversation, but not really contributing much.
All right, gentlemen, is everyone eating their fill?
Yes.
Oh, well, that was an excellent first course. We must now have an aperitif and then some dessert.
No, I would like to go now.
We're very eager to see what may rise from this these doings. We'll treat you to dinner tonight, though.
I understand the hurry, gentlemen, but certainly there is time for an aperitif. Just one.
Yes, just one, gentlemen, I'm sure.
Very well.
We'll have time. I look hungrily at the next course.
Okay, I get suspicious about this Miss Worthy. So we were expecting you earlier to pick us up, Mr. Winsworthy.
Yes, Dr. Larson. you know, I'm a busy man. Things come up, business matters to attend to. You understand?
Well, I would like to hurry and finish it up, and go to the plantation as soon as we can. So if you don't mind, I'll step up and wait for you outside.
As you wish, Dr. Larson, as you wish. Would Mr. Williams and Mr. Ratcliffe care to make a psychology roll?
Yes, indeed.
Except I get a 76.
And I get a 92. This food is delicious. Nom, 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 nom. Just gorge myself.
And absolutely uncertain about Mr. Winsworthy. Can't quite put your finger on it. So after his aperitif, he orders dessert. And after his dessert, he finally says, "Ah, wonderful meal, gentlemen. Wonderful meal. Thank you very much." Meanwhile, Dr. Larson has been standing outside. Rocking I've back saved and forth.
Looking around and starting to look upset.
Yes, and I've saved him a little bit of dessert, so I will bring him out a little bit.
Well, gentlemen, shall we?
We shall. Let's get suited up. And
while I wait outside, is the car open? Can I peek inside?
Yes, you can.
I would like to do that.
Okay. You see the interior of a car.
Yeah, but I'm looking for a gun, looking for, you know, a strange book, you know.
Oh, so you're actually going to search the car?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you like to attempt to search the car without Mr. Winsworthy noticing that you're searching the car?
Yeah.
Okay, I believe that calls for a sneak roll.
Okay. No, 50.
Okay. Make a spot hidden roll.
Yep.
You find nothing of interest.
Okay.
No weapons, no occult tomes, nothing that seems out of the ordinary.
Okay.
Meanwhile, inside the restaurant, however, Mr. Winsworthy, what exactly is Dr. Larson doing with my car out there?
Well, I'm sure he must have just dropped his pen or something into
he dropped his pen inside my automobile.
No, he's clumsy like that. He's always doing things like this.
Yes.
This Dr. Larson seems a strange fellow.
Well, he was in the war. He's seen some rather vicious things.
And from Massachusetts, yes? Yankees, I understand. Well, gentlemen, shall we be off?
Very well.
Yes, let us away. Let's get we'll get our...
If you care to collect your baggage and join us?
Absolutely. So yeah, I guess we'll get suited up in our swamp hunting clothes. I'll pass around see how many
Professor Gist suggests to you that it is a long drive out to the swamp, and it is very hot this afternoon. Mm-hmm. So you may not want to be in full swamp exploring gear right now. You will be very uncomfortable in the car.
All right. We'll just take it along with us then. The clothes and the flare guns. The trench knives, which we'll pack our weapons away and put them in the boot.
What is all this you're bringing, gentlemen? Really?
I heard there were snakes.
We don't like snakes.
I see. Interesting. Well, as you wish. Yankees. So be it.
Take my flashlight, binoculars, all that stuff as well.
Okay.
When I see them, I talk to Winsworthy. Mr. Winsworthy, I took the liberty to look around the inside of your car. I was actually looking for space.
Yes, I noticed.
To I'm
sorry, but I was.
Yes, Dr. Larson, you were looking for what?
No, actually looking for a space to put our guns, because I don't, you know, it's better if they don't notice we are carrying guns when we get there. Because I don't know if you're aware of this, but we've been shot twice. And I told you already about the incident in the train. And it was from the same people. So if we're going to the plantation, we better, be ready for anything.
Well, Dr. Larson, perhaps you should just carry them in your lap. We can drive around like a bunch of gangsters with guns hanging out the window.
Yeah, that's what I don't want to do. That's what I was looking for.
We should have some Thompsons.
Yes, I hear they're very effective.
Certainly, there's plenty of room in the boot. And it turns out there is.
Yeah. You're right.
His Anderson is a very large, fancy touring car. There's plenty of storage capacity for your gear.
I will still have my gun with me.
Your pistol?
Yeah.
Okay. So come, gentlemen. Finally, let us get going. You seem to be delaying.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
So, Mr. Winsworthy is, of course, driving. Yes, Dr. Larson.
I want to take the... Well, I take the front seat.
Okay. Shotgun. Okay. Mr. Winsworthy is a very slow, apparently overly cautious driver. He's not Mr. Ratcliffe. After about an hour and a half, and it is now late afternoon. You arrive to Walterboro. Walterboro, South Carolina. And as you're entering the town, Professor Gist asks Mr. Winsworthy to stop at the sheriff's office.
Oh, that's right.
I just want to make sure that Sheriff Trucks knows we're here.
Okay. I'll go with you, actually. Yeah, there's something we would like to talk to him about.
Oh, okay. So, Mr. Winsworthy drives to the sheriff's office. This is Walterboro's kind of a small rural town. And pretty much as soon as you enter, you are met by Sheriff Virgil Trucks. Ah, Albert, good to see you again. How are you? And Professor Gist basically just tells Sheriff Trucks that they're going out to the plantation, and he just wanted to make sure that he knows that they're in the area.
Okay. When we get off the car, I asked them, Mr. Radcliffe and Mr. Williams, do we talk to the sheriff about what we found out in the papers?
Oh, we certainly could.
That could be the best course of action, just to make sure we have all the information.
We must be wary of local law enforcement, as they tend to
arrest us.
And from what I hear, side with their own people over the best interests of the public at large.
Quite true.
We would most likely want to get a larger law enforcement body involved.
So these jet... Yeah, it's this Jasper Galloway, right? The one that they found in the riverside, I think. Do you remember the detective that was found dead?
Yes.
Yes,
Jasper Galloway. Remember that. Also, as you arrive in Walterboro, town is basically kind of on the edge of the swamps, and you notice that it is a lot hotter here than it was in Charleston. The air is very fetid, very humid, very thick. You expect that it is so hot and humid and muggy that any sort of extended physical activity would probably result in con rolls and the probable loss of some skill.
Why can't the villains always have their headquarters in air-conditioned buildings?
Air can what?
You know, palm fronds.
Okay, so when we're there with the sheriff, and after Giz telling that we will be around, I asked the sheriff. Sheriff, hi, how are you doing? My name is Dr. Larson. I am a friend of Mr. Gist here.
Dr. Larson, pleasure to meet you, sir.
Pleasure is mine, sir.
You from? You sound like a New Englander. You from up north?
Yes, that's right.
You wouldn't by chance be Dr. Larson of Arkham, would you?
Oh, that's me.
Remarkable. Pleasure to meet you, sir. Pleasure to meet you. Sheriff Virgil Trucks.
Nice to meet you, sir. Mr. Trucks, I actually wanted to ask you about something we saw in the newspaper. Detective Galloway. I think his name was Jasper.
Yes. Terrible business that.
Yeah. Can you tell us a bit about that? What happened?
Well, we... he was missing for a few days, and eventually his body turned up in the river. No idea why someone would drag a body all the way from Charleston up here just to dump him in the swamp, but I suppose that's as good a way to get rid of a body as any.
Yeah. Can I do a psychology roll? I'm the sheriff.
Go right ahead.
Okay, I pass.
Sheriff Trux is an honest, upstanding, hardworking, loyal, dedicated small town, small county, rural sheriff.
Okay. Okay, yeah, that's terrible. We were just curious about that. I don't know, do you have any? I turn to my friends quietly. Do you have anything else, or
is it is it possible he was investigating something up in, up out of his jurisdiction?
No, I'm quite certain he was murdered. He was killed down in Charleston. No reason for a Charleston detective to be out here.
Quite true.
Well, gentlemen, shall we continue on?
Yes, let us proceed.
Yeah, you didn't find anything. When you found the body, you didn't find any notes or anything within, right?
Well, I'm sorry, Dr. Larson, but that's a matter for an ongoing police investigation. I can't really release any details to the general public right now.
Oh, it's okay. It's still ongoing then?
Well, it's still unsolved, so yes, it's still ongoing.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Sheriff.
Have a good day, gentlemen.
You too, Sheriff. Let's go.
So you return to the car?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the road leaves Walterboro. And after about another 10 miles of driving, Mr. Winsworthy turns south onto a dirt road. And very quickly it turns into a very narrow, rutted, kind of rough dirt road. You find you are actually passing into an area of swampland. The road is kind of on an elevated bank above what looks like very brackish water. There are giant cypress trees, moss hanging from them, and the air is very humid, very fetid.
listen to that wildfire.
Very, very stale. Been years since I've been out here, gentlemen. Been years. I swear this road sinks deeper into the swamp every time I come out here. After about an hour of this, you are very deep into the swamp. You come to an intersection with another dirt road. On one side of the intersection, make a no roll. Please.
18.
Oh, very nice. Stands a apparently very old cotton gin. On the other side is a large tin-roofed rectangular wooden unpainted building with a large porch. On one side of the building, there are two white men wearing overalls playing horseshoes. In front of it is an old-style gasoline pump with a glass reservoir. And on the porch, there is a crank-operated kerosene pump. Yeah, we better stop here, gentlemen. This is our last chance for gas.
Oh, very well.
Yeah, this is the Gist General Store. This is Professor Gist talking now. I've been here for years, gentlemen. Been here for years, I tell you.
Amazing.
That right there is the Gist Cotton Gin. It's not very far to the plantation now. We'll be there soon.
Family owned and operated, Mr. Gist?
For the benefit of the sharecroppers, of course.
Oh, that's good. Perhaps you all have an ice cold Coca-Cola in that ice box in there.
Look at those gas prices. 7 cents a gallon.
Outrageous.
Well, it takes a lot of work to get the gas all the way out here. You understand. That's
does indeed.
Charge a little bit extra for it. As the Mr. Winsworthy pulls up to the gas pump and suggests that you guys can go browse around inside if you want while he's pumping gas. He'll be in a moment.
Okay.
Yes.
I actually want to do that.
As you get out, Joe gets out of court. Joe gets out as well, of course. He says, I'm going to go. I'm going to leave from here. I don't want to be seen coming in the plant station with you white folks. Mr. Caleb's men be looking out for me, I'm sure. My house, it's with the other sharecropper's house. It's the one with the blue door, the blue door. I'll be looking out for you.
Stay safe, Joe.
See
you there.
Do we see the house from here?
No. No, you're not quite there yet. The only thing that's here is the general store. Is the store. Professor Gist tells you that the plantation and the sharecropper village is a little bit further in. You see Joe kind of lope off into the swamp. He's not going down the road. He's traveling overland, shall we say.
When we are alone, I actually turn to Mr. Radcliffe and Mr. Williams, and I tell them, I've got this feeling that this Winsworthy was delaying us on purpose.
Also seems to be a flimsy excuse for Joe to run off ahead, perhaps prepare something. Suspicious-like.
Make a no roll, Mr. Williams.
Actually, everyone
can make a no roll.
I pass. 45 out of 60.
Sure thing.
I pass.
Nice. Yeah, given that this is 1924, and given that you are way out in the backwoods swamps of South Carolina, maybe it's not so unusual that a little black boy would not want to be seen in the company of a bunch of white men.
Oh, sure. That's what they want you to think. Yes, I gathered that. Just being paranoid.
Professor Gist walks into the store. Do you gentlemen like a cola, then?
Oh, yes, please. One Coca-Cola.
Dr. Larson, Mr. Ratcliffe?
No, please. I'll take one.
One moment, not a problem.
Great fan of you.
So you guys waiting outside, or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
head on into the store.
You gonna go in?
Yeah, I think I'd like to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Upon entering, you find a little country general store. It is a general store that sells pretty much everything, from cradles to corsets to coffins.
Do they recognize Albert when he walks in?
Yes. Yes.
What's the reaction?
Ah, Albert, we haven't seen you in a while. How are you doing? Come to visit your brother, have you? Yes, yes. Just down for a little visit. He's just kind of shaking hands and making his way around. Make a spot hidden roll.
No, I fail.
Mr. Williams, Mr. Ratcliffe?
Yes.
Very well.
Yes, pass.
Pass, 16.
There is one gentleman. Well, two things. First of all, everyone is... There are a number of men and women who are at... There's like a soda counter, and they're kind of just wandering around, doing their shopping, talking, sort of. Appears to be very friendly, or at least respectful of Professor Gist, but they do kind of give you a quizzical look. You know, what are these strangers doing here? Apparently not used to visitors. At one end of the counter, talking with a couple of the sharecroppers, is a tall, cadaverous black man of indeterminate age, wearing overalls, a white clean shirt, steel-rimmed spectacles, and a straw hat. And he's apparently he's been treated. Kind of looks like the others in the store are giving him a fair amount of respect. And on the counter in front of him is a large, thick book.
Titleless and kind of homemade-ish, or?
No.
Okay.
What does the book look like?
Bound in human skin, perhaps?
as you kind of wander around and get different looks on the different looks at it, it appears to be a large Bible. Professor Gist, you see him go up to the counter and shake hands with the aforementioned gentleman. They don't appear to be particularly friendly, although they do, you know, kind of shake hands, nod, greet each other. And Professor Gist turns to the gentleman behind the counter and orders some ice-cold Coca-Cola.
So, where was the old man sitting?
I'm sorry, what was that?
The old man sitting, where was he? Was he sitting around, or?
At the soda counter.
Okay, I get closer. And it's very hot in here. What do you think?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Yeah. I started thinking and I tell him, oh, it's pretty hot in here, isn't it?
Very humid. Yes. Warm. It's usually that way out here in the swamp. Swamp in the south in the sea, late summer. It gets a bit warm. Dr. Larson, may I introduce the Reverend Isaac Hilson as a local preacher for the sharecroppers.
That's Gist.
Yes. And he indicates the tall black man with the Bible.
Okay. Oh, nice to meet you, Mr. Hilson.
Reverend, how'd you do?
Gentlemen, don't usually see very many strangers out here. Welcome to South Carolina. What brings you out with good Professor Gist here?
Oh, we're just coming along to visit his brother.
To visit we his, were. You're on your way to the Gist plantation, are you?
Oh, yes.
Gentlemen, do not go to that pit of Satan. In the name of God. There are some things being meddled with there by Caleb that ought not to be awakened. Some powers are best left alone should a man value his soul. I cannot strongly recommend you, good gentlemen, leave and be done with this.
I try to look very surprised, even though I am not. I don't understand. What?
Make another spot hidden roll.
No. You didn't make it.
Mr. Williams, you're close enough to.
Very well. Ooh, that should be right on the dot.
Yes.
Yes.
You notice that Reverend Hilson looks at Professor Gist as he goes through his little diatribe.
Interesting, sir. You mean to say that things are happening there that wouldn't be considered Christianly?
Completely, sir. Completely. Such evil should not be awakened, should not be tampered with.
What species of evil are we talking about?
The beast? Devil himself?
Things of Satan. That's all I'm willing to know, gentlemen. That's all I need to know. Agents of the devil.
Well, we'll make sure that we are careful. We have no intention of waking the devil ourselves.
Well, just remember, gentlemen, the things of Satan, the things of the evil one, they do not work for people. They never have and they never will. Kind of looks at Albert again. Caleb Gist ought to know, your brother Caleb ought to know that, Albert.
What is Albert replying to all this?
He's just kind of shaking his head.
Well, Reverend, if something like that is happening there, shouldn't it be that somebody go and stop him?
Well, that's kind of what I try to do. Keep folks on the straight and narrow. Bring the word of God to these poor sharecroppers. Give them hope for a better life.
Do you have many followers at the plantation, or do they all seem to be involved in ungodly things?
Oh, of course, all the sharecroppers are good Christians. Good Christian folk. Yeah.
Good.
Mr. Winsworthy comes in. and comes up to the counter and pays for the gasoline. Well, gentlemen, the car is fueled. We can be on our way when you're ready.
Very good.
And let's go.
Guest says, excellent. Excellent, Lahu. Let's be off.
Okay, I say goodbye to the Reverend Nelson. Nice to meet you, sir. I pray for us then.
I certainly will pray for your souls. Not that I expected to do a bit of good. So you pile back in the car. A little bit of extra room now that Joe's not with you. Mm-hmm. And you turn down the other dirt road. After about a mile or so, you see a river ahead of you. And there is a large wooden, kind of crude, but apparently pretty sturdy bridge crossing it. This is the Edisto River, gentlemen. As soon as we cross it, we're on the plantation.
Guess this is our own personal Danube.
As you
can we see the house from here?
No. Right? No. On the other side of the river, there's just more trees, more swamp. Dang it, where'd my other dice go? Sorry. Oh, what the heck? Well, okay, sorry, go ahead.
I was just thinking that probably is not wise for all of us to go there at the same time.
As you approach the bridge, Mr. Winsworthy kind of gives a start and stops the car just before getting on the bridge. And you can see that several planks have been removed from the middle of the span. So in other words,
someone doesn't want us coming.
There's a hole in the middle of the bridge. However, you also see that apparently the planks that were removed are sitting right by the side of the road on your side of the bridge. So in other words, they're right there next to the car. What in the world? Locals must have been doing some work on the bridge. Simple enough matter to put them back, I suppose. Care to give me a hand, gentlemen?
No, certainly.
Dr. Larson, please keep a sharp eye out on these woods. We help Mr. Winsworthy put back these planks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very good idea.
Okay.
Yeah, well, they're helping to get the tables on the bridge. I look around, you know, see if there's anything suspicious going around.
Okay. Mr. Winsworth, so Mr. Winsworth, Mr. Ratcliffe, and Mr. Williams get out. Albert stays in the car with you, Dr. Larson. As you get out of the car...
I knew it!
you hear a gunshot that slams into the side of the car. It hits the car door just near Mr. Winsworthy. It doesn't hit him, although he dives into the mud. Hell's bells!
Get down, take cover.
Ah.
We scramble around to the boot of the car and try and get our weapons out.
Yes, I flee as well.
Yeah,
towards cover.
On the opposite side of the car, of course.
The second shot rings out, and Mr. Williams, would you make a roll, please?
Oh dear.
The question is, which of you is on which side of the car? So, under 50, it's under 50. Mr. Williams is on the left. Over 50, Mr. Ratcliffe is on the left.
Mr. Williams is on the left.
Okay. The second shot. Just misses you. Slams into the side of the car. Just brushes your trousers as the bullet whizzes by.
Run off to the right. Wrong side.
Another shot rings out as you're running around the car. This one doesn't hit the car, but it doesn't hit you either. Apparently it goes over your head. Fourth shot rings out. Although as you're now on the other side of the car, you can't, you're not sure where it went.
That's fair, as long as it didn't go into me.
I tried to see where the chats are coming from.
Okay, you can see gun smoke rising up from a stand of bushes, roughly 20, 25 meters off the road.
Okay, I put out my gun and I fire.
You're just firing into the bushes?
Yeah.
Okay.
To where I see the smoke coming from.
Okay.
Oh, one second. No, 80.
The shot goes wild. Okay.
And I shout, "You better run for your lives!"
Yeah, that'll be the new exciting line of videos. The shot's gone wild with Dr. Larson.
You're fairly certain that all four shots came from that same bush.
Okay. Yeah, as soon as I get another chance, I will shoot again. No, 62.
Okay. Mr. Ratcliffe, hurry with that trunk.
There you go. Pull open the trunk, get the rest of our weapons out.
Where's my knife?
Yes, we'll use the knives to deflect their bullets.
Yes, now we're there. I heard they can do that over in Japan. Why can't we do it here?
Exactly.
In country of America.
Okay. I just keep watching to see if I'm able to place the shooter, and as soon as I have another chance, I will shoot.
Okay, in just a moment, Professor Gist is lying on the seat inside the car. Mr. Winsworthy is belly crawling through the mud to get around to the car, to get around to the other side where you guys are. And Mr. Ratcliffe, did you say you were going for the trunk?
Yes.
Okay.
Crouching and trying to open it up from as well as I can, keeping most of my body on the right side of the car.
Okay. You're able to pop the trunk open without exposing too much, and you don't hear another shot.
All right. Let's see, I'll grab how many guns do we have for everyone? I know I have my double barreled. What's your secondary weapon? Rifle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll pass Dr. Larson his rifle, and Mr. Williams, did you bring a gun?
Nah. You think I would have?
But we'll say you have Mr. Ballantyne's shotgun with you.
Right. All right. Well, I'll pass that shotgun to Mr. Williams, and I'll take my double barreled.
Ah.
Can you pass me the binoculars?
Sure thing. I'll give him the binoculars.
I try to see if I see them, you know, tracing a line from starting from the point where the smoke is coming from.
Okay. Make a spot hidden roll.
No, I fail.
Okay. You're quite certain that you know where the gunshots were coming from, as you did see the smoke rising up from the bushes, but you don't, since after the fourth shot, you don't see any movement, you don't hear any noise.
Okay.
There are some chiggers in the mud that are biting Mr. Williams.
Blam! I blow him to pieces. You can't bite me if I don't have any legs.
All right, I guess let's make sure our weapons are all over the place.
Okay.
No. I'll pass another. I guess we'll call it two flare pistols. So I'll give one to the doctor.
Okay.
And three flares apiece.
Okay. It is early evening, but it's still quite light out. This is early September.
Okay. I think he's safe now to get the bridge working. I don't see anyone here.
I think it actually might be a better idea to try and go it on foot.
Yeah, can you take a look? Sir Radcliffe, maybe you have a... See if you can see anything.
Sure, I'll scan the tree line, the bushes with the binoculars.
Okay, make a spot hidden roll.
24, I got it.
You don't see anything.
Good. Yep, looks clear.
Maybe we should just unload a couple of rounds. Just to be sure.
Perhaps you hit him already. Should we go take a look?
Yes, that would be wise.
All right. Actually, I want to get my sturdier clothes on, the jacket, boots, all that good stuff.
I'm not sure this is a time for getting dressed, Mr. Radcliffe.
There's always a time to get dressed.
See Mr. Radcliffe do a Superman change.
I am Investigator Man. Where's the phone booth?
Okay.
Oh, it's lovely material. It breathes so nicely.
So are we going to go check on that bush? Make sure it's not going to try shooting at us again?
Yep, let's...
Yeah, we should.
You're the former soldier, Doctor. Would you like to take point?
All right. I will get my boots as well. Just to make sure that we don't get any snake bites.
Yeah, I don't want any con rolls in the future. Rubber boots. Oh.
Okay. It's taking you a few minutes to do this, during which time there's no sound or movement coming from the bush.
Any tracks?
Well, not by the car, no.
No.
Look, they're coming this way. Right behind us. Oh, wait, that's us.
So you're going to make your way over there?
Yeah, but when did you lure me from here?
A bold charge? Reminiscent of going up and over during the war?
Dr. Larson made it back. He never went up and over.
Never pulled a black adder. All right.
So just stay here and cover me. I'll see what I can find.
Okay. You are able to cross the clearing area to the bush where you saw the smoke coming from. As mm-hmm. you approach the bush, you see you can see a foot sticking out, kind of laying on the ground. You can just see the end of a boot poking out from behind the bush.
Okay, standing or lying down on the ground?
Lying on the ground.
Okay. I turn to the car, and I point to the direction of the boots to see if they can spot it with the binoculars, so they can see what I'm looking at.
Okay.
I'll take a look-see.
Yes, you also, as Dr. Larson indicates, you can see what appears to be the boot of a man lying on the ground.
Oh, it looks like Dr. Larson is a better shot than we thought. Let's, Mr. Williams, shall we?
Touch the boot?
Yes, let's do that. I'll go across the river.
All right. Yes.
This isn't across the river. This is on your side of the river, Stone.
Right. Oh, it's on our side. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll go over to where Dr. Larson is.
Okay.
And I'll give the boot a little kick to see if it moves.
Okay. Well, as you go around the other side of the bush, you see a man who is dressed like in sort of the same kind of general rundown clothing of the sharecroppers that you saw at the general store. He is lying on his back. Next to his side is a .22 rifle.
Yoink.
And he appears to be dead. Make a
I'll
spot.
Give him a little.
Make a spot hidden roll, Mr. Ratcliffe.
52. Don't get it.
Okay.
Can I try it?
Are you okay? You're gonna go round two. Yep.
Yeah, I actually want to search the body and make sure that he's been dead for a while, or if he's still warm.
I'll give him a little dig in the ribs with my boot.
No, I failed the spot hidden.
Darn it. Okay.
But I want to make sure if you know is. Is he cold or?
He is quite warm.
Okay.
He has just recently died. Make a.
Where is the shot?
Make a medicine roll.
Mm-hmm. I pass.
As you're examining the body, he has just recently died. I mean, just recently died.
Probably a heart attack.
But you do not see any gunshot wounds.
Oh.
You do, however, find On one of his legs, two large puncture holes in his trousers.
Ah!
Doctor, what have you found?
Look like he was with a snake.
Oh my.
I start looking around to see if I see the snake.
Okay. Yes, as you're looking around, you see off in the bushes, you see a large, a very large, very, very, very large, surprisingly, shockingly large black snake. And just as it skitters into the, just as it slithers away into the river, towards the river, it kind of slips into the water, you can see a large white crescent on its head. The snake, there's something about it that is incredibly disturbing. So disturbing that it's worth a sand roll, Dr. Larson.
Oh no, I failed.
That'll be D2 points of sand, sir.
Okay.
Looks like Dr. Larson really does hate snakes. Oh, I'll be right back.
So that's 2 points of sand.
Awesome.
There's something on that snake that gave me the creeps. Did you notice that? Oh.
Snake. What snake? Snake.
Or there.
Gentlemen, did you find anything? This is Dr. Winsworthy, or Dr. Winsworthy, Mr. Winsworthy, and Professor Gist climbs out of the car as well, calling over to you.
I see no one to come to us. I wave my hand. Yeah, come.
Okay. Mr. Winsworthy and Professor Gist will walk over. Mr. Williams, are you going to join them, or are you going to stay by the car?
Have they asked me to join them yet? Don't think they have.
Okay.
Someone has to wash the car.
As they get there, Professor Gist kind of looks down and finds the puncture wounds as well. He pulls the trouser legs up, and you see there are two large puncture wounds in his calf, just above his boot, and the flesh around them is turned black. Snake bite.
Ooh, how gross.
Remarkably lucky for us, this man was shooting at us.
Fortuitous that perhaps we have reptilian allies.
Well, this is the swamp, gentlemen. This whole area is littered with cottonmouths. This happens from time to time. Best be on your guard.
That's why we got these boots.
Good thinking, gentlemen. Good thinking.
All right, let's confiscate his weapon and see if he's carrying any extra ammunition on him.
Or any ID.
Empty his pockets.
Mr. Williams, would you make a spot hidden roll, please?
Indeed. I fail.
Okay. As you're rifling the body, you find nothing of interest.
That's all right. We've got a gun.
Dr. Larson and Mr. Ratcliffe, would you make spot hidden rolls?
Absolutely. 23, made it.
You notice, as you're kind of surveying the scene and stuff, there's a in the river, kind of downstream from you a ways, there's a ripple in the water as if something large was moving.
Yeah,
towards us or away from us?
Away from you.
I told you about the snake, right? It's over there. I point to the direction where I last saw the snake.
All right. There's something quite large in the water there.
If only we had some binoculars to try and...
Oh, yes. Let me binocularize that.
A free idea roll. All right.
I'll take a look at it with the binoculars.
You do indeed see something moving in the water. However, something disturbing, something desperately unusual. Something that requires a description that I cannot find.
It's not going to cause the lenses of the binoculars to rocket back into my eye sockets, is it?
There's got to be a description here somewhere. It appears to be a man. Kind of generally the shape of a man, but there's something kind of odd in the way he moves, kind of slithers, he kind of swims like a snake, kind of back and forth. The skin looks a little kind of scaly, kind of black. And that'll be a sand roll for you, Mr. Ratcliffe.
Okay. Let's see if I can do that.
Do you see the snake?
No, and I failed the sand roll.
That'll be a D6.
Particularly disturbing.
Oh, just one.
Up to you.
It's not a snake.
What?
It's a man but he looked like a snake.
I know there was something wrong with that snake.
Well, you're Dr. Larson, you're quite certain that what you saw was a snake.
But it was wrong.
Yes.
Something in the way it moved was wrong. He's moving like a snake. He has scales. He looks like a snake.
Can we...
You very quickly see the shape, the disturbing man shape kind of disappears around a bend in the river.
Now, do you recognize this man, Albert? From
man? Well, I didn't see.
No, oh. the one that's lying dead.
Oh, this gentleman. Hey, looks like he could be one of the sharecroppers from the plantation. Can't say is he someone that I know in particular, but can't say I really know all the sharecroppers either. Mr. Winsworthy kind of gives the body a kick. Damn sharecroppers, shooting up my car.
Okay, let's get moving. Let's get the bridge back in order and see if we can cross.
Excellent idea, Dr. Larson. Let's get to the house. That'll be on us here before too long.
All right, I guess we'll get the planks in place on the bridge again.
They fall into place without any problem. And you pile back in the car. You're just going to leave the body there, I assume?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. He deserves no burial.
Yeah.
So what took you all so long out there?
The things with stuff.
Okay, I'll assume I don't want to know.
No, you're better off not.
Very good.
Okay, as you climb back in the car and cross the newly repaired bridge, across the river, the road bends south. The swamp is growing even more desolate. But after just a few more minutes, the swamp kind of opens up into a cleared patch of farmland. There are several crude shacks and rotting sheds on to the left of the road. A number of them have there's a thin black woman or a child sitting outside. Professor Gist makes a comment about the unfortunate lack of nutrition and hygiene in some of these people. They don't not able to take care of themselves that well, I'm afraid. After just a few more minutes, the road rises a bit to a small hill, and you see a large house. Mr. Winsworthy slows and pulls up in front of the house. It's a two-story southern plantation house. A large screened porch completely surrounding the ground floor. White paint, but it's very peeling, very splotched. The porch screen has a number of holes in it. On the roof, you can see a number of lightning rods. Although there are many shingles that are missing. There are four particularly large oak trees around the house, but they are covered in moss, and they do not appear to be in good health. About 200 yards downhill from the house is what appears to be a small village of shanties and tin-roofed buildings. That appear to be in particularly poor repair. A couple of them have collapsed. There's a group of men and women and children, all of whom who are very rugged, very poor-looking, kind of looking up at the car that has arrived. Most of them are black. There are a few white men and women scattered in amongst them. And you do notice one of the shacks, kind of closer to where you are, you can see that there is the door is painted a bright blue. And standing around this shack, you notice there are four men here with rifles who appear to be guarding the shack. They have that kind of guard pose about them.
Okay.
The old plantation. Come, gentlemen. Let's go in and meet Caleb.
Should we leave our weapons in the car, or will he...
No, I...
Really? No, I... Entering armed.
I think we should. Yeah, I think we should take him with us.
Okay. Professor Gist leads you up to the front door and pulls the bell. A moment later, the door is opened by a very old black man dressed in slightly out of date butler uniform. Ah, Professor Gist, welcome back. Master Caleb's waiting for you on the back veranda. Follow me, please. And he leads you into the house.
How does the house look like? Is it in good shape?
It is not. Not only is the exterior of the house in very bad condition, the paint is peeling and splotched, the interior of the house, the furnishings are old and ragged, the wallpaper is peeling, the house is not well maintained at all.
So, Albert, seems like your old house needs some maintenance.
Yes, time has not been kind to the old girl, I'm afraid. The butler leads you through the house out to the back veranda, as he said, where you find someone whose picture I don't have yet. A tall, tanned man in kind of worn white riding clothes. Gentlemen, welcome to the plantation. He gives you a little bow. Brother Albert, it's been a long time. And Professor Gist kind of gives him a little bow in return. He looks at the three of you and sees you carrying your rifles.
Slung at my shotgun slung.
Mm-hmm. He kind of bows again and gives you a little smile. The police are already taking an interest in the affairs of this plantation, gentlemen. I hope we won't have any trouble. The sheriff tends to look kind of harsh on unnecessary gunplay in his jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I found that that's tends to be true of most police departments. We just want to be equipped in case we heard there were some very dangerous animals in this area. Can't be too careful, you know.
I wanna check how is Albert reacting to who I assume is Caleb, right?
Yes, this is Caleb.
Okay, I want to see his reaction. Supposedly they haven't seen each other for quite a while. Can I do a psychology?
Go right ahead.
I failed.
Okay.
So, you're Caleb.
Yes, I'm Caleb Gist. You are?
I'm Dr.
Dr. Larson, welcome. And your friends?
Jeffrey Latcliffe of Alexandria, Virginia.
And Mr. Williams. The good town of Providence.
Mr. Williams, Mr. Ratcliffe. Welcome to the Gist Plantation.
Thank you.
Will you be staying long?
No, probably not so long. We just came to inquire as to the well-being of a friend's relations.
Ah, I see. Well, I'm sure it's been a long drive, gentlemen. Mr. Winsworthy, good to see you again, sir. Might I offer you gentlemen a drink? Iced tea or mint julep, perhaps?
Oh, I'm quite all right.
Fine.
No, we're quite all right. We had a delicious Coca-Cola on the way here.
Mr. Winsworthy accepts the offer of a mint julep. Certainly, Caleb, I could do with a mint julep. Wipes his brow. Ah, this heat. Please, gentlemen, please, have a seat. He indicates some of the chairs on the veranda.
They haven't changed a word, have they? I mean, Albert and Caleb.
I'm sorry, they have?
They haven't exchanged a word. They haven't talked to each other since we've been here.
No, they nodded to each other and said hello, but that's about it. Ben, will you get Mr. Winsworthy a mint julep? And I'll take one as well, please. He kind of indicates the butler who led you in. Certainly, sir. One moment. And he disappears back inside the house. Please, gentlemen, please, have a seat. Perhaps you would like a tour of the plantation? After this long trip, just to see a real live southern plantation?
I think that would be lovely. We can talk on the way.
Certainly, certainly. Let's take our mint julep and be happy to show you around. After a few moments, the butler returns with a tray on which are two mint juleps. One of them he hands to Mr. Winsworthy. One of them he hands to Caleb. Mr. Winsworthy indicates that he's just going to hang out here, as is Albert. Caleb tells Ben to have dinner ready in a few hours. Gentlemen, shall we? And he stands up and motions you into the house.
Very well.
He leads you through the house, back out to the front. And Caleb begins kind of walking you around the area. Near the mansion are a number of outbuildings. He kind of leads you around, points out where they points out they have cows, and he tells you that everything on the plantation is still done by hand. They milk the cows, they churn the butter, they pick the cotton, they feed the livestock, they cut the wood, we tan our own leather, we shoe our own mules, we grind our own cornmeal, we make our own soap. We are a totally self-sufficient enterprise out here. There is a large windmill that he points to. I had this built back during the Great War. Provide some water to the house and the barns. And out beyond the outbuildings, you can see cotton fields.
Yeah, you should be very proud of yourself.
Well, we try to make do. We try to make do. We keep the old girl going. As you're wandering around the area, you do notice there is another road other than the one you came in on. Appears to be completely overgrown, as if nothing has driven on it for a very long time, that leads into the swamp.
Is this the road we're taking?
No.
What is over there? Caleb.
It goes down to an old dock on the river. We don't use it anymore. It's all grown over.
I hear that the rivers can actually be dangerous around here with the cotton mouths.
Yeah, well, not just the snakes, gators too. You boys want to stay out of the swamp. Snakes and gators, they'll get you. Time passes. Caleb is... Make a psychology roll. You can all make psychology rolls.
I pass.
Okay.
I just fail.
Yeah, one moment. Ooh, out five. Hey, oh,
very nice. Caleb is, you know, giving you his tour of the plantation and pointing out all these things. But he's doing it in kind of a slow, deliberate manner. And it occurs to you that he's probably trying to waste your time.
Mm-hmm. Well, Caleb, we heard that Brother Dior, you are good with the occult. Is that right?
I'm sorry, what was that, Dr. Larson?
Well, since Albert is very, very good with the occult, you were wondering good as well.
Because you have some knowledge of the hidden secrets.
Hidden secrets?
Oh, yes. Magic and other all sorts of delightful, interesting things.
Oh, well, some of the old sharecroppers will believe in such things, but I take no truck with peasant superstitions myself.
Well, I'm convinced. That's good enough for me.
How far are we from the house?
Not very.
Okay. Well, I feel very tired. I think I'm going back to the house. If you excuse me, I'll wait for you there.
As you wish, Dr. Larson, as you wish. When you see Ben, you can ask him to show you to your rooms. We have some rooms set aside for visitors. Ben will take you to one. You're welcome to settle in and change for dinner.
Mr. Giss, you wouldn't happen to have a library here, would you? any collection of literature? I'm a writer myself. I'm always interested to find what other people are reading.
Ah, writer. Yes, we have a small library in the house.
Ah, excellent. I'll peruse that for a few moments before preparing for dinner. Thank you.
As you wish, Mr. Ratcliffe, as you wish. Mr. Williams, can I show you around some more, or shall we all retire back to the house?
Yes, I'm quite tired from the day's events.
Okay. He actually leads you back to the house. And as you enter, he finds the old butler... And asks the butler to take you to your guest rooms, and says that he will join you for dinner.
right, I'll head towards the library.
Okay. I go to Albert's. Is he? Where is he?
Well, the butler leads you. The butler leads Mr. Ratcliffe, or points out to Mr. Ratcliffe where the library is, and he leads Mr. Williams and you, Dr. Larson, to some guest rooms, which are empty. There's no one in them.
Where is Albert?
I believe Mr. Gist is in the library.
Okay. I need to talk to him. I go with Mr. Ratcliffe to the library.
Okay. Mr. Williams, what are you... as Dr. Larson and Mr. Ratcliffe decamp for the library, are you going to join them, or...
Terrence, do you want to come with us?
Sure, very well.
Okay. And on the way there, I talked to them. We need to press Albert for Joy's sister. We need to find her. Why is he like nothing is happening?
The butler points out how to get to the library.
Okay. We head to the library.
As you enter the library, you do see Professor Gist standing at one part of the library. He has a book in his hand. He's kind of flipping through it. He turns and sees you and slips the book back onto the shelf. Enjoy your tour, did you?
Before that, I want to do a couple of things. One, pay a lot of attention to the book he was reading. I want to make sure that I can pick it up.
Okay.
And two, I want to do a psychology roll. Was he scared when we walk him? And I pass.
He looks nervous.
Okay. Albert, why are we here?
We're here to find Joe's sister, of course.
And so why are we not doing that right now? This is your house.
Well, but what would you suggest, Dr. Larson?
You do something.
I think Dr. Larson wants us to be a bit more direct in our dealings with your brother.
I would like you to move. We're wasting time here. I don't want to go for dinner. I want to find Joy's sister. That's what we are here for. And since this is your house, I'd like you to help us and lead the way. And if you're not going to help us, please let us know now.
Boom! And then they died. After death for being impotent.
Well, I suppose I can. We can certainly ask Caleb if he is aware of what's been going on.
I think we that's something we can do ourselves. We don't have to ask Caleb. Do you know Joy's house?
Yes, it's the woman as he told you. It's the one with the blue door.
The one guarded by armed men.
Yes, what is the reason for that, sir?
I can't say. Perhaps it's just the sharecroppers and they're holding the girl there.
If that's the case, we've no time to waste.
How did he react to all this confrontation?
He appears nervous and unsure of himself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go. I would like to leave now. Do you think, guys, should we go now?
Yes, indeed. Time's wasting.
Let's find out what we can.
Okay, where are you headed?
Actually, I'll stay behind to distract Mr. Kiss. He tries to find out what's going on.
He says.
No, you should come with us, Mr. Rackley.
Oh, the books. Okay.
Oh, yeah. The books.
I tell you what, gentlemen, Elihu and I will stay here and confront Caleb and see if we can get any new information out of him. And the three of you can go, perhaps check out, perhaps see if you can see what's going on at Joe's house. Why they're guarding it? How about that?
Goodbye,
no, you should come with us. You are the owner of the plantation, and they are not. They should follow your orders as well.
Make a persuade roll, Dr. Larson.
No, I failed. 98.
Never listens to anything you ever say again, ever.
Yes, excellent idea, Dr. Larson. I shall stay here and confront Caleb. I completely agree, sir.
It's just to convince him otherwise. That's great. Alright, well, off we go then. Indeed, if someone's in danger, time is of the essence.
I don't understand your obsession with books, Jeffrey. I grabbed the book that Albert was reading. Take this one and read it later.
Look, now you have a book. Stop whining, man.
Oh, delightful.
And be quiet.
The book that you grab is entitled Minutes of the Calton County Agricultural Society.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Is that the one that he was reading?
Yes, it was.
Oh, well, they get different points in agriculture or bureaucracy.
Yeah, called the order. Oh my God!
Shocking.
Well, maybe I can use it as armor.
So, Dr. Larson hands it to Mr. Ratcliffe. Would you make a spot hidden roll, Mr. Ratcliffe?
I'm sure. And 16.
As Dr. Larson hands you this book, The Minutes of the Calton County Agricultural Society, You notice that the cover does not seem to fit on it quite correctly. It appears to be a bit too large.
I eye it interestedly for a moment before I guess following the other two gentlemen.
Maybe you should open the book.
All right, I'll try and peel the cover off.
Okay. Would you roll me a D5, please?
D5? What the?
Yes. Wait,
is that a 10? Just
however you want to do it.
All right.
A D10 and take twos, or a D6 and ignore the keep rolling until you don't get a six, or whatever you want to do.
All right. Well, I just rolled a D6, 3.
Or just pick a number from 1 to 5. Yes, as you take the cover off, and you see that the book underneath the cover is a large brown. The book is fairly large. The cover underneath the brightly labeled minutes of the Colton County Agriculture Society cover is a brown untitled book.
I open it up.
Okay.
Just open it up to a random page.
It is a handwritten book.
Does it look like a journal or just a...
Yeah, yes, it looks like a journal.
I'll flip it to the front and read the first entry.
Okay. On the very first page is written in a large but very neat hand, cursive, written the words Papa Shapo.
Papa Shapo, does that sound familiar to me at all?
I believe that's worth an occult roll, sir.
Let's see what my occult knowledge can tell me. That's a pass.
You're not familiar with the name in particular? Although it sounds like it could be, it sounds similar to the names of some African magicians, witch doctors, that sort of thing that you've heard before.
I'll read the first entry, see if I can find out what Papa Shapo was up to.
Okay.
Is it Papa Shapo, two words?
Yes.
Papa as in father?
Yes. Papa, P-A-P-A. Second word, Shapo, S-H-A-P-O.
Other shop.
I'll indicate to the rest of the group that this might be something of interest.
Because
and read the first entry.
It appears to be... The entry is the journal is it, as you kind of scan through it, the only thing you're able to gather quickly is that this is the handwritten journal of someone. We'll come to that in a second. Who was a student of someone else named Papa Shapo, and that this book is the transcription of some lessons that he received.
Does it look old or new, the writing?
It looks old. And how about a library use roll, sir?
Sure thing. Nope, 14, that's a pass.
You are able to work out quickly enough as Dr. Larson and Mr. Williams are kind of getting antsy. that this is actually handwritten by someone named Findlay Gist.
Findlay Gist. I want to look up to Professor Gift. Professor, do you have a relative named Findlay Gist?
He kind of sighs. Yes, Findlay Gist is one of our ancestors. That there is his journal, one of them.
His journal as to his lessons taken from an African sorcerer?
Yes, I'm afraid it is. You have hit the thing on the head, Mr. Ratcliffe.
Your family has been involved in these voodoo rituals for how many generations now?
Well, old Findlay was.
Grandfather, great-grandfather.
I knew you were going to ask that question. Pause for a keeper search of information here.
Professor Gift turned from the past.
Blim, blim, blim.
Charles Dexter Gift.
This is an interesting.
Speak, man.
Uh-oh. Well, this is weird. Plenty of references to Findlay, but I can't find where it actually says what the relation is.
Well, how many years? When was he operating, if operational?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
How many years removed from the present was he?
Well, I can't find that either.
Oh wow.
Here it is. Sorry. Findlay Gist is the grandfather. Yeah, Findlay Gist was my grandfather, gentlemen. Sorry that took so long.
And what of your father? Did he meddle in such horribleness as well?
No, of course not.
Oh, of course.
These things skip a generation.
I think that you haven't been honest with us.
They skip a generation. They tend to. My dad's crazy. My grandpa's cool. That works.
Professor, is this why you left and went to New England?
Yes. Part of the reason. I have no interest in such things. And
I want to do a psychology role.
You're
crazy. And I pass. He's.
Go ahead.
He's openly lying to us, right?
No. He is being honest, but at the same time, he appears conflicted.
Just listen to me. We've seen what happens when these horrible works of magic are perpetrated upon innocence and upon the world itself. You should have no loyalty to this man.
Yes, I completely agree. I completely agree. You gentlemen must go in search of Joe's mother and sister at once, and I will confront Caleb.
Nope, I'm convinced. Let's go.
I want to impress upon Professor Giff that, you know, if things come down to it, there might be more than just an exchange of words going on between us, between him and his brother. And if he's some kind of magician, it could be even more dangerous.
Come with us, Albert, and then we'll confront Caleb together.
Well, if you believe that's for the best.
Yes. Come with us, and we'll try to fool the guards on Joy's house. We get Joy, we get her sister out, and then... And then we'll confront Caleb.
Excellent idea, Dr. Larson. Let's get Elihu to join us as well. The more the better, certainly. Strength in numbers.
Indeed.
Meat shield. Cough.
Okay.
All right, yeah, let's find Mr. Whitworth and hope that he's not all jeweled out.
Sorry, what was that, Mr. Ratcliffe?
Let's find Mr. Whitworth and hope that he's not all jeweled up and useless.
You find him by... So you're going to leave the study and go... You left him on the back veranda.
Yeah, I'll take the book with me. Tuck it into my jacket.
Of course, I would expect nothing else. Yes, you find Mr. Winsworthy sitting on the back veranda still. With multiple empty glasses in front of him.
Oh boy. Mr. Winsworth, come. Your services are needed.
Ah, gentlemen, yes, of course. But to what adventure are we off to?
We're going to go pay a call.
Oh, of course, you can rely on me. I'm right behind you.
All right, Dr. Larson, lead on.
I actually want to be the last to go. So you go.
Okay. So
you go ahead.
The doctor has a perfectly good reason for that. He'll be healing us as we are shot. That'll be good. Just keep the party healer in the back. Anyway.
I actually want to keep an eye on these two guys.
Oh, man. Yes, but we won't mention that openly in front of them.
No. That's why I'm telling Jim.
Okay.
I wanna keep an eye on both of them, see if they exchange looks while we're walking there, and you know, anything suspicious.
Understood.
I wanna. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's go head off to the sharecropper shack with the blue door.
Okay. So you make your way back through the house and out the front door. Mm-hmm. And as you exit the front door, I would like to call it there, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure.
All right.
I think that's a good place to stop.
The calm before the storm.
Because that's also a good place for another car to drive up.
It may be whisking away Terrence as I'll be in Boston next week for my sister's graduation. So.
Okay.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes, from the school of music there.
Oh, very nice.
Excellent.
That'll be interesting. But, you know, hopefully I'll make it back in time. But if not, Terrence will be switching out. Oh, yes. Good. Our replacement is here. Here's the gun. Good luck.
Thank you. Wait, Terrence, I didn't know you owned a jetpack.
Just for such an occasion.
Yeah, okay.
So I would hate to miss it, but yes. It's going to be really interesting, so I'll be looking forward to listening to it at the very least.
No worries.
Definitely. So, did you guys have any feedback problems for me this time around?
Yep, a couple.
Still?
Yeah, okay. I had to drop you a couple times, but like, what the hell? Speak of the devil. Yes, anything can be done would certainly be useful.
All right. Well, I'll send some of my information on to Randall, see if he has any info on why my hardware might be acting up like this.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Figure it out. All right, gents.
Okay, guys.
All right.
Talk to you next time.
Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Have a fabulous weekend.
See you next week.
Mm-hmm. Next week it's time for blood and violence.
Yay.
Yay, excitement.
Oh, you mean for you guys too? Oh, yeah. I was talking about the graduation. All right. Have a great one, guys.
Talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.